Welcome to Let's Talk Land, a weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts, free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant with United Country Real Estate, Sutton Properties, our new company name, along with my co-host, Teresa Martin. Hey, Teresa.
Hello, Lou.
Teresa's one of our agents in our office, and she's learning about land. So you got me, the professor, Teresa, the expert.
Hey.
She's not the expert?
After 1 year.
Oh, no, you're not an expert. Teresa, the student, and of course, our guest today, Tom Brickman, we'll introduce here in a second. Buying or selling homes or land and farms in Western Piedmont, North Carolina, Southern Virginia, just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our new office is at 102 East Main Street, next to BB&T Bank in downtown Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Please make a note of our changes. Our company's new website is www.allsuttonproperties.com, all S-U-T-T-O-N properties.com. Just a program note, Dr. Barbie's Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m. Our guest today is Tom Brickman. Welcome, Tom.
Hi there. How are you, Lou?
Where are you located?
I'm in Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, Alabama. All right. What a great town. You're the principal broker of Cypress Partners and also are owner of LandSmart Resources.
So, that's correct.
So we want to talk about both of those today. You went to one of my favorite schools, Auburn University, graduating in 75 with a BS degree and certified general real estate appraiser. So you're an appraiser. And you're also a registered forester member,
yes.
Consulting foresters. And you're obviously a member of the Realtors Land Institute. We love our brothers and sisters. We're a great organization, about 1,300 nationwide, with about 540 ALCs currently, accredited land consultants. And you and I share something as well. We're both Eagle Scouts.
Well, how about that? There you go.
So what an incredible program, or used to be.
Well, the Realtors Land Institute is the best professional organization I belong to in terms of the people that you meet. They're competitors, but they're first friends and high-quality folks. And, of course, the educational opportunities, you just can't beat it.
No, you can't. How long have you been a member?
Off and on, over 20-something years, but currently probably about 10 years.
Okay. I took my first class with Ned Massey, the old subdivision course, in Winston-Salem, mm-hmm. North Carolina, 1997, and joined RLI in 1998, and been involved as president twice, and recipient of our Realtor Land Year of the Award twice, and I've been on the board every year but one, staying on as secretary and treasurer, so I don't have to advance up, but we've gone from the original eight when I joined to over 350 members, and then the you-know-what hit, and we're probably down around 40 right now.
Yeah, you must be talking about 2008.
Something like that. I seems to remember those wonderful years.
So 40 in what territory?
What now?
In the whole United States? 40?
540.
540.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was 40. You're a very elite crowd.
Yeah.
But we're 540 is elite.
Yeah, but we're 70. Well, we'll be 76 years old this year. And my ALC certificate was 1,079 out of all those years. So it's an elite group. And, Tom, we hope you get yours someday, if I can ever help you.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate
that. We'd love you to join us. So your timberland and forestry management rural sales for 43 years of experience, currently founder and managing partner of two companies specializing in rural land and timber sales for 19 years. And then you had worked with Resource Management Services for 22 years and the Peace Corps for 2 years. Good for you. Tell me about the Peace Corps and that experience.
Well, when I got out of college in 1975, it was a very tough job market, and I probably had 8 or 10 interviews, and let's just say I was not at the top of my class. And so none of that worked out, and I looked around, and I had a couple of buddies in the same boat, and there was a Peace Corps recruiter on campus, and we interviewed, and we all three got in, and I got a call one day, and they said, well, where do you want to go? And they said, you can go to Africa or you can go to Guatemala. So I got out my map, and I noticed that if I went to Guatemala, push come to shove, I could walk home. So
well,
I decided to go to Guatemala.
Wow. Has that changed since you were there? I'm sure it has.
Well, it has. It's been, of course, Guatemala's been through a lot of turmoil over the years, and it's worse now than when I was there, and it was bad when I was there.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't long after I left the country that they shut the program down, Peace Corps program in Guatemala, mm-hmm. just because of the danger.
Yeah, that was Kennedy's program. I'd looked at that myself, quite frankly, and my son and daughter both looked at it years ago. So I guess it's still around and still out there helping folks.
That's a great program, and at that point in my life, it was the best thing I could have done. It got me out on my own, living with my own decisions and living with the consequences, and it grew a young boy.
And that's also what people experience in the military. I tell all the young kids to get involved in some type of military experience. Rodney, were you in the military? Teresa, you weren't?
No.
Shout is not?
My brother was.
Oh, okay. It's all good stuff. I'm just getting this off your website, and I really like the way you wrote it. Dell shouldn't be a hassle. Tom started his career at the age of 6 pulling chains for his forester dad. In those days, they used to pull chains or use poles. Of course, everything's satellite now. He never realized it was supposed to be work. In fact, he says helping people buy, sell, and manage rural land still doesn't seem like work, and I agree with that. Over the course of a 40-year official working career, Tom became a licensed broker, certified general appraiser, and registered forester, as we mentioned. His specialty is helping people simplify the land process, and that's one of the things we want to zero in on today, Tom.
Yep.
Tom passionately believes that anyone can find their dream property. The key is knowing what's on the market for sale by agent or by owner, or having someone with experience to simplify the maze of details. Finding the right property to closing, Tom Brickman guides clients through the process to remove uncertainties, because even a simple mistake can derail the best efforts. Good. I really like the way you put that. And a comment that I made after to one of my agents the other day, they said, why aren't we getting walk-in traffic? We just moved our office to Main Street off a highway. And, of course, there's all kinds of events going on. But I've had my license almost 30 years. There was MLS, but it was DOS. And we would sit there and input the information with the format given, and maybe one photograph in black and white, which you had to go to Walmart and get a print and then send it to the MLS office, and then they would eventually put it on the listing. But weekly, we would get together, the small MLS in Surry County in Mount Airy, at a restaurant on Wednesdays, and we would take our new listings and lay them out on the table by categories. And then you would just walk up and down the table and pick up the other agents' listings and bring them back to the office and three-hole punch them, and you'd have a land book from lowest price to highest price and a home book from same thing, commercial, and so on. And people had to come to the real estate offices. Buyers and sellers had to come to the real estate office because, you know, that's just the way you do it. But with all this internet now and all these websites, which is agnosia, we don't see them coming in the office that much anymore. Is that your experience as well?
It is, Lou. I tell you, boy, has the world changed in the last 10 years. It wasn't more than 10 years ago that if I wanted to sell a piece of land, well, I just ran an ad in the Birmingham News Sunday Classified and it would sell.
Yes.
Well, no one reads the papers anymore, no. And everything is on the internet. I'd say 90%+ of our buyers find us over the internet. And so if you want to be in the real estate business, you have to be good at getting found by people who are searching on the internet. And that means that your advertising, your website, everything you do has got to be search optimized. And there are people that are expert in this world at doing that. I'm not one of them. So we hire a company, and they make sure we keep our keywords up to date and keep everything working like it's supposed to.
Exactly. Well, I did that for years myself, and had Advanced Access out of California was the first website we had for the private company. And, of course, we're with United Country Real Estate, the oldest franchise, the first established franchise in the country in 1925, published the first real estate catalog in 1928, which is in the Smithsonian Institute.
Mm-hmm.
But with our multiple offices and money generated off franchise fees, we've got probably second to none marketing out there. I'm pretty sure. I think we get like 600,000 plus people to our multi-level sites, because we have a national site and then a state site, then we have a company site, and then we have agent sites, and it's all integrated. It's a totally different ballgame out there.
It is, and of course, Google is the big benefactor of that. They get a big old fat check for me every month.
Oh, you do too, huh?
We have got 3 or 4 campaigns, Google AdWord campaigns, going at any one time.
We do too.
Plus banner ads and the other things you have to do. But it's the price of doing business, and because that's where the buyers are.
Right.
And there's a lot of good that has come from this. Our approach to things is put enough information out there so people that find you can make a decision about whether this property is suitable for them or not. They're welcome to call me and talk, but I don't make them call me. I give them all the maps, directions, everything they need to go look at the property on their own. And unless it's a property that's, where I have to accompany them, they're welcome to go look at it. And often when I get the first call, they've already have a lot of information and they've got a few fine detailed questions. So you treat them like grown-ups and they'll make a good decision. So that's been one of the pluses the buyers are free to get all the information.
And the more you can give them, the more. I mean, there's MapRight's one of the companies we use. They got Terra Firma out there too, and that's an excellent company.
Yeah, we use MapRight. Mm-hmm.
But you got all these overlays. You got the infrareds. You got the different Google Maps, tax maps overlays. You've got your floodplains. You got your soils maps. And then all kinds of other things on these. Now we can tell a story. You can actually put in little markers on your map and on the internet or on computer. You can click on it and it'll give you a picture. Or
there are
it could
several
be a
companies
video
out there, but I can't, and I use MapRight also. But I can put in a good plug for them. They've been great to work with. They're a fairly new company, so they're still adding features. But whenever there's an issue or a problem, I call up the principals and they pick up the phone and they help me, and they've been great to work with.
Yeah, I called Stephen today, and he says, "Well, I'm on my way to vacation here. We're walking out of the house in 10 minutes. I said, "Well, I'll call the office." He said, "Well, wait 15 minutes because they're behind us," and got on there with one of his guys, and just incredible service, and we got the problem solved.
And if you're in this business, you're looking. There's a lot of people in this business. And we have a lot of competitors, and each of us is looking for a way to stand out from our competitors. And interactive maps like this gives you a way to separate yourself from folks that aren't adopting that technology. And the important part here is it makes it much easier for your buying customers.
Exactly. We actually put those aerial topo floodplain maps on our signs. So a person pulls up instead of for sale, and they don't know what the heck it is or where it is.
Right.
Can't get hold of the agent. That's a missed opportunity for the buyer and for the seller. And so then we put the QRCs. So now they can take their phone, click on the QRC. It takes them right to the MLS. Now they got the price and all the features. And then when we do the drone GoPro, we'll put another rider on the sign or another QRC. Says Landwalk Tour. It's a trademark that I own. And we put the aerial map beside the visual, and then we have an arrow as the cameras are moving around the property, the arrows in the location on the property pointing in the direction of the cameras. So you can sit right there. I'm selling property 3 and 4 hours away from my office. There's all the information's there. What do you need me for? It's vacant land. Get out there and see if you like it. Call me, and we'll write up an offer. I've sold a lot of property that way. It's just
Absolutely.
A different way of marketing. So we're talking to my good friend Tom Brickman today, and this is Let's Talk Land. Tom, one thing that fascinated me about you and your experience and your company is you have created a database of over 102,655, I didn't see a half here, landowners and land professionals. What is that all about and why?
Well, one thing we discovered as we grew our business was that there's a lot of land for sale that you're not going to find on the internet.
Okay.
And with rural land, you don't have a centralized clearing system like you do in residential with multiple listing services where it's a complete listing pretty much other than for sale by owner. And you've got some websites out there that do a good job of advertising land for sale, but there's not a good place to go and to see everything. And what we have figured out and believe is that about half the market, a half of what is for sale out there, you're not going to find it on the internet. And it'll be for sale by owner, or it'll be a man that inherited the land is thinking about selling but hadn't quite got to it yet, or it'll be a small town realtor where there's a local MLS. But if you're in Gordo, Alabama, you don't get very far with the local MLS.
Right.
So we said, look, we've got clients that are buyers that are looking for opportunities. So we went out and purchased data when it's available out there for each county that we operate in. We operate in about 40 counties.
Wow.
And got landowner database. And in addition, we got realtor people in the real estate business got their mailing addresses, and foresters and appraisers and surveyors and anybody that's connected with the land business.
Okay.
And we put it in a database. And so when one of my clients says, I'd like to own land now in Greene County, Alabama, I can pull up all the landowners and sort by the size of the ownership that they have, all the foresters, all the appraisers, and put a card in the mail to those people and say, hey, I've got a buyer looking for this. And we've been very successful with this.
I'd say.
In about 3 weeks' time, we can put together a list of, it averages 40 to 50 potential purchases, tracts for sale. Probably a third to a quarter of them will be for sale by owner. So, and that's the significant part, because a lot of things for sale by owner are overpriced,
right,
but some are underpriced. And so we're able to get our clients into deals they would not be able to get into on their own or with other agents who don't use this kind of technology.
Exactly. So what kind of information are you getting from the appraisers, for example?
Well, we just want to make them aware of that we've got a buyer looking.
Okay.
Because that appraiser is going to know, if he's a rural land appraiser, he's going to know people. He's going to know, hey, there's a deal coming up, or Bill Smith got this place about to put it on the market.
Gotcha.
He passes the card on to Bill Smith. Same thing with foresters. Same thing with the legal community. We include lawyers in that.
Right.
Because lawyers, especially small-town lawyers, are very active with local landowners and drawing up legal agreements and whatnot. They know, and often with personal relationships.
Yeah, especially for estate settlements and estate sales. Yeah.
Yep. And those folks, those professional people around landowners, they tend to be gatekeepers.
Yeah.
They're the ones who can get me in touch with people I would never find otherwise.
Exactly.
So, and the thing about landowners is that we've discovered is you can't find them using internet technology.
Interesting.
For the most part, landowners are older.
Uh-huh.
For the most part, they are inheritors. And the only way you can reach them is by licking a stamp and putting it in the mailbox. And I can't tell you how many times a week I'm talking to a landowner, and I'll say, well, send me your email address.
They don't have one.
And he says, ah, email, that's for women and children. I don't fool with that stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're dealing with. And these are the decision makers. These are the people that control these assets. So if you want to get your business in front of them, that's the only way I found to do it effectively.
That's interesting. And then when you categorize it, how do you categorize it by obviously county and then probably by acreage?
And by acreage, right. In my business, I collect data 20 acres, parcels that are 20 acres and larger.
Okay. Why is that?
You get below 20 acres, and we can't make a living.
Yeah, and it's usually a subdivision or a lot of covenants.
So, now, a guy that owns 5,000 acres, he owns a bunch of parcels.
Yeah.
But we, using tools like Excel and pivot tables, we can combine all those acres into one number, so we know that if Bill Smith owns land in five counties, we're not sending him 25 pieces of mail. We consolidate it down into one address.
Gotcha.
And get the acres that way, too. So, same thing with other people, like attorneys and whatnot, that have multiple offices. You got to, there's things you got to do to make sure you're not annoying people with your direct mail program.
Sure.
But we mail probably 20 to 30,000 pieces a year.
Good gracious.
Do you do letters or postcards?
I do. I've got a card. It looks like an invitation.
Okay.
Drawn up. And I had a marketing company design it for me.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Send me one time.
Yep.
If you don't mind.
Yep.
We love plagiarizing.
You're welcome to.
Teresa's good at it.
Oh, yeah.
She's a good copycat.
I am not. I'm original.
That's for sure. What's your question, Teresa?
Well, I was just thinking, with you talking about the for sale by owners, why do people need a real estate agent? Why do for sale by owners not trust real estate agents, do you think?
Well, that's a good question. There is a, unfortunately, I think there's a general perception out there among people that own land or people that own houses that real estate people take advantage of things to their own benefit, et cetera. I can tell you, as a member of the Realtors Land Institute, nothing could be further from the truth, but you've got to overcome that objection. And the only way you can do it is through education. So we, on our website, have a series of short articles about a variety of different things that people can educate themselves with, both people that buy land and people that sell land. And so it's just ignorance for the most part. And there are, of course, like any industry, there are people that are not scrupulous. But by and large, that is not the case with real estate people. But it is a perception out there that
exactly.
You have to deal with.
Yep. That's why we get to kick the code of ethics now every 2 years.
Yep. That's right.
Somebody messed up.
I have found that real estate agents are fine people, and they do work really hard at what they do, and they're out there to help people. Of course, they're trying to make a living. That's everybody has to do that, but they really work hard, harder than people realize.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I work all the time.
Well,
all day, every day.
It's because you love what you do. Like me, I don't go to work. I haven't worked in 30 years.
if you can, I found that if you can get in front of a prospect, you can overcome a lot of the objections.
Sure.
To them using an agent to help.
And there's so many issues with land. See, you know, I teach the Land 101 class for the Realtors Land Institute and have since 2003 when it was launched all over the country. Actually, I'll be teaching at the end of September in Charleston. I'll be in Tulsa in September, Oklahoma, for the Oklahoma chapter teaching it, and then in November in Asheville, North Carolina. And then I created a four-hour class in North Carolina. Tom, we have to have 8 hours to keep our license active, 4 hours everyone has to take, and then 4 hours are elective, and there's over 300 titles that the MLS education committees choose for their agents, and they're all houses. It's 99% houses this, measure that. There was no land class in the state of North Carolina, and I guarantee if you call your real estate board and inquire about being able to take a class, CE class for your state for credit on the subject of land, there isn't one. In fact, I can't find one in any of the other states, quite frankly. I'm it. And that's a shame. But,
well, back to your question about real estate agents and perceptions out there in the public. And, let me say one thing, though, that there is a difference that I see between people that own the assets and want to sell them and the people that are looking to buy those assets.
Oh, totally.
We have had a lot of luck working as buyer agents. And so our company is focused in both directions, representing both the sellers and the buyers.
I like that.
It's a whole different skill set. It's a whole different story that you have to tell. But in general, the people that we meet that are looking for buyer or representation, they know the value. They understand the value. That's why they're looking for it. And so a lot of the things on our website are geared toward folks that they're doing their own shopping but may not realize that we can help you do a lot of things you can't do on your own, like contact all the lawyers in five counties. are all landowners in six counties. And that's an example of some of the value that a good real estate broker can do for a person that's looking to buy land.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because I was just speaking to one of my clients yesterday, and she said she had a friend a couple of counties over that was looking for 25 acres, and did I know a real estate agent? And I looked at her, and I went, you're looking at a real estate agent? She said, well, that's, you know, that's another county. I said, well, we don't just work in the one county. I am licensed in the entire state.
Right.
But back to land. You know, that word, but it's got a long tail. And when I first started the show, when I met Rodney here at the Rodney Booth, owner of the station, he said, you want to do a 30-minute show or you want to do a one-hour show? And I kind of laughed. I said, well, you know, I teach a 16-hour course, and it's one of many that we have. And I don't even know if I can get through a show in an hour. And you know, and most of the guests I have, like you, Tom, we could do a 10-hour show on some of these subjects we get into. But you know, you got wetlands, you got mitigation banks, you've got soil types, you got timber, you got surveys, you've got title insurance, you've got lenders that specialize in banks. Anything over 5 acres is considered a non-conforming loan, pretty much in the banking industry. You've got carbon credits. We just had a guy on, a guy that does ecological restorations for years, and he said there's 12 different ways you can make money on land. I don't want to get into those today, but I didn't even thought of that. But being an expert, and this is something that RLI trains us to do, is to learn about all these different things: cap rates, internal rates of returns on investment land, transitional land, highest and best use. You know, the average person out there has no idea these concepts and what it means to the value of a piece of property. And I always love when they say, well, you know, my son is a college graduate. He thinks it's worth $100,000. Well, I mean, my question back is, how much real estate has your son sold? But, you know, it's there's a lot to it. And land's totally different.
There's a lot to it. And one of the articles on my website is about, should you use a real estate agent or not?
Right.
And there's not a right answer.
No, there's not.
I don't advocate using one. My job is to sort of point out what the options are for the public out there, and you can make your own decision about whether it's right for you or not. But one of the things that we see is that, you know, residential housing has its own long list of specializations of things you have to know about. And what we see, though, is that there's a lot of people that will sell land who are not members of the Realtors Land Institute, and they don't have experience with that long list of things. They're great in residential stuff. They've got long experience. They understand the ins and outs and the nuances, but they don't in land. And we see, and if you look at all how much land is sold there in Alabama, I think there's 12,000 real estate licenses. And if you look at the amount of land that's sold, a lot of it is sold by the small town residential agents that occasionally sell a piece of land once a year, once every 2 years, somebody they go to church with, that sort of thing.
Right.
And they often lack the knowledge and experience to handle it properly. One of the things you won't see with members of the Realtors Land Institute is they do have that specialized training and knowledge and experience.
Right. Just a plug for RLI, our website's www.RLI, Realtors Land Institute, acronym, land, land.com. And there you can source a RLI member. They may not have their ALC, but at least they've had some type of land training and are working on it, and all over the country, and actually Mexico and Canada. So if you want some help with a professional, go to our website, www.rliland.com. So, Tom, there's totally difference, too, in the psychology of people selling a home. You know, there's so much emotion, and it's a domino effect. You know, I put my house up for sale, and I get a contract. Well, I got to go buy another one. Well, the person I'm buying from's got to go buy one. The person that's buying, they got to sell theirs. One thing happens, underwriter doesn't approve. It's like dominoes. It goes blip, 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 and it affects three or four different transactions.
That's right.
And then the dog's buried in the backyard, or the arguing over the chandelier, or, you know, I can't be out by this day, or, you know, it's just constant, you know, problem solving. where land, it's a different type of buyer and different type of seller, especially buyer. They're more sophisticated. Usually a person obviously has a home of some type that's looking for land. And why are they looking for it? For investment, all land's an investment. I use the word investment land interchangeably. And they have their wishes. They want a hobby farm, or they want a hunting farm, or they want to have an estate, or they want to, you know, there's all kinds of reasons. And it's just a different, you know, client that you're working with. I mean, I love it. I love helping people with land. That's what I get up and do every day.
Well, Lou, I would make the argument that it's also very emotional for people that own land who want to sell it.
Yeah, that's
and
enough.
One of the hardest things I have in to teaching young agents is to understand the emotional content of the decision these people are about to make. Granddaddy used to own this. That tree over there is where, you know, my dad proposed to my mom. And now they're passed and we're selling the land. And as you know, emotion will hijack logic every time in life. That's just the way it is.
We're talking to Tom Brickman. This is Let's Talk Land. Yum, yum. So I love it. Radio's fun. So, Tom, on your website, and I encourage people to go there. What's your website, by the way?
It's cypruspartners.com. It's spelled like the country. CYPRUS partners.com.
What's the origin of that name?
I get asked that a lot, and my business partner and I sat down one day to come up with a name, and I don't know how it came up, but he picked it, and I didn't care, so we just went with it.
I like it. It's very unique. Sets you apart. I want to go to your website, but that's why I wanted you to bring it up and encourage those to do so. Whether you're looking for property in that part of the world or not, it's a great educational site, and I love land education, Tom. You've done a great job.
Thank you.
So on your site, you say you see deals that you would never see otherwise. If you look on the internet in the rural land, you miss about 50% of the market. We talked about that. And, of course, part of it's the FSBOs, we call them, for sale by owners, small-town agents listings who only advertise and look on MLS, and landowners who are still thinking about it. Why limit your search when there's a proven way to find out these hidden deals? And that's where you talked about creating that database, which you say quickly contacts thousands of local people on your behalf, landowners, real estate agents, foresters, appraisers, attorneys, for those hidden deals. And then what do you get? 2 to 3 weeks, you assemble, and it takes you probably a while to put all that together for a client, to assemble the customized list. And how do you send that to them? What format?
It's very simply just a letter in an envelope, and it's very short to the point. This is what we want to spend. This is the kind of land we're looking for. My database lets me sort by section, township, and range.
Okay.
So I can be very specific about where I search for my client. So we lick stamps and put them in the mail. And a typical project, let's say that they want to own land in Chilton County, Alabama, or nearby, we may cover 3 or 4 counties, and it's probably 2,500, 3,000 pieces, something like that.
Right.
That goes out, and you don't hear back from most of it, but you do hear back enough to find things you would not have found on Land Watch or Lands of America.
Mm-hmm. So, but I'm saying, what do you send the client? Do you send them actually MLS sheets or these listings? Or are these just potential?
No, I'm working for a buyer at this point.
I understand. So, but you're not sending them actual listings.
I'm looking for 200 acres.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be part open cropland and part in timber. It's got to have a water feature or not.
Right.
So you just describe briefly what it wants so that you make it easy for people to weed themselves out if they're not the right piece.
Right. But what are you physically sending them when you said you put it in the mail?
A letter, a one-page, 8.5 by 11 piece of paper in an envelope.
Saying we have 20 properties that fit this criteria, contact us?
No, I have a buyer who's got this much money to spend.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you're actually sending that out to those 20.
Yes.
And then they respond to you, and hopefully that's where that 2 to 3 week period comes in. I got
yes.
you.
Right, but we're at that point when we use this database, we're working for buyers. they've been through what they've been through, Land Watch and Lands of America. They've been through my website, and they haven't found what they want.
Okay.
And they know that they're missing stuff, and so they'll hire us, they'll retain us to employ this database to reach out to people that own land or people that know people that own land, and as a way to say, look, we've got money, we're ready to write a check. If you've got this kind of land, let's talk.
Gotcha. So then they respond to you. You send out 20 letters, five of them respond, okay?
I wish it was that much, but we'll send out 3,000, and we may get 100 responses.
That's a lot that you got to go through and see if they fit. But these are also potential listings too, right?
Potentially, yes. It works both ways. It may be they'll contact us and say, well, I don't have a piece of land that suits what you're looking for,
but
I got a piece of land I'd like to sell. Can you talk to me about
Bingo.
It? And, of course, we'll pick it up from
Teresa,
there.
I like this. You got a new campaign.
Yeah, I like it too.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't tell the other agents, okay? Shh, I hope they're not listening. So you say don't ride alone when you go look at land. You're 40-plus years of experience is in the passenger seat. Typical situation, you're searching on the internet looking for deals and hadn't found several you want to look at the ground. Each one's listed with a different agent. So the question is, how do I get there? Is it a fair price? What's the timber worth? Will excess be a problem? You know, there's 11 different types of easements. There's good ones and there's bad ones, and you better know what they are. And, of course, with your forestry background and your appraisal background and your rural land brokerage background, I mean, you're quite a talent out there for those that are looking for the right agent to help them, I'd say.
Well, it's hard if you're a buyer looking for land to buy. There's not an MLS. And if you get on Land Watch or Lands of America, you're only looking at about half the market.
Right.
What a lot of people do that want to buy land, they'll kind of do-it-yourselfers, DIYers, I call them. And, you know, they'll get a list of three or four properties off the internet, and they'll ride around and look at them. But, you know, how much more could they benefit from having someone with experience in the front seat with them to talk about access, to talk about timber value?
Right.
We get paid by the listing agent. It doesn't cost them anything.
Exactly.
And in the process, they get someone with experience to ride shotgun with them. And so we've had a lot of success with people who see the value in this, and will pick up the phone and call us.
Perfect.
And they'll say, well, I've got this tract over in Coosa County, Alabama. I want to look at. It's listed with your competitor. Would you ride with me and look at it?
Sure.
And heck yeah, let's go.
Well, yeah. One other thing you do, too, which I think is really great, is when someone does purchase property from your company, you either give them a complimentary timber appraisal, and that's worth its weight in gold, believe me. People don't realize what a cash outset that is. I don't mean $100 bills. I'm talking about 24 hours with a timber deed, and you got a certified check type stuff.
Right.
Or a title exam. Why a title exam? Just curious. And the attorney doing that for them?
It's something that they're going to have. Nobody buys land without getting a title exam, generally, some exceptions. They're not terribly expensive. We don't pay for the policy.
Right.
But you know, a title exam will run you $250, $300. So it's a small thing for us and something of great value to them. It's just another way to distinguish myself in the marketplace.
So you're doing this pre-purchase, right? You're doing these services pre-purchase, not post-purchase.
Well, that's correct.
Yeah, yeah. So now you've got that information to advise them.
Right.
You know, might have some problems with this title here.
Right.
That we may want to get an attorney to actually really review it before we make an offer. Or both that and leverage that issue with the seller and try to get the property cheaper because it's going to cost some money to maybe clean that up.
Absolutely.
Interesting. What we do or what I do for my land buyers is I'll do a estate plan for them using the highest and best method based on their heirs, potential heirs in the future and current subdivision laws. And then that way they have that in their portfolio at that time of demise or situation or even resale Tell people, I've had people that were looking for 40 acres and we couldn't find it, but we'd find 60 acres that most of it was exactly what they're looking for. They had the money to buy it. We would buy it and then we'd turn around and cut off the balance of the land, resell it at a higher per acre price because less is more, and put that money back in their pocket. So
there you go.
It's a different way of solving the problem, but I've had that experience several times. Closed one last week, a 50-acre tract, and guys doing a land home package with Schumacher Homes that we represent, and he was $15,000 short based on the underwriter and what he needed to make the closing, and it was a loblolly, mostly loblolly reforested tract planted back in the late 80s. So we called up one of our timber buyers, and he says, yeah, I'll advance him $15,000 on the timber contract. So we had that money on the table as soon as the property was transferred into his name. Then he could execute the timber contract. The proceeds were in escrow, and we closed the deal.
There you go.
So, timber is a very interesting part of land that you better know what you're talking about and have the resources. When I teach the Land 101 class, I have a form that I give out called Land 101 Survival Kit. And it's a narrative on each person that you deal with in the land transaction, from the attorney to the title company to the county government's mapping office, tax office, soil scientist, surveyor, timber guy, and why they're important. You build a team. I have a team. Teresa has a team. So it's not just us. We actually have the experts that can help our clients understand these issues and guide them better than we can. And you got to have those contacts to, in my opinion, to do the right job. And it's about the right job.
Well, if you're looking in the South, especially when you look at rural land, timberland, there's two components to value. There's what the dirt's worth, and there's what the timber's worth. And what a lot of landowners and the struggle that land buyers have is, well, what is that timber worth? Because it can be pretty timber, but not worth much.
Right.
It can be clear cut right along the road, but you get back across the creek and there can be substantial timber value. And so you've got to look at all the acres and have some sense of what the value is.
Exactly.
We sold a tract of timber recently that brought well over 4,000 an acre just for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
So, there can be substantial value. Now that's unusual to be that high.
Right.
But it's not unusual to be, a 1,000 or more. So you have to understand that value. If you're a land purchaser, the seller may not know what they have.
Exactly.
And you've got to if you're a wise investor.
And if you're a good buyer's agent, you can use that to your advantage and get a better deal for your client.
And for the landowners that hire us to sell their lands, we always take a good hard look at the timber. We may not cruise it in every case. It may not be substantial enough or variable enough to warrant a timber cruise, but we have a good idea what it's worth before we advise our landowning clients on what we think we can get for them in the marketplace.
Yeah, but you guys have mapping tools where you can use the aerials and measure the
spread,
and you don't even have to go out there and just get a rough idea. We have a couple timber buyers that followed me for years. And they'll stop by and say, hey, Lou, have you listed any good timber tracts? And, if I have, I'll say, yeah, there's 50 acres over here and there's 40 acres over there or whatever it is. And they'll come back to me, maybe the same day or a week later, or call me and say, look, when you sell that property, let the buyer know I'll give them $80,000 for the timber. And I like that because that gives credence to what the property's worth. Why is this property listed at this and what's the potential of it? Sure. I had one situation where I actually listed a property for two ladies. One was 100, one was 102. And they're putting an interstate connector around and taking their farm. This is a number of years ago. And we did a 1031 on two tracks, and one was 103 acres that I've ended up selling five times over the last 20-some years.
Mm-hmm.
And timber was cut on it, and 100 bought it, and he kept another 100 bought it, and so on. And the other one, I did a minor subdivision, made some lots, and there were some tracks in the back, 10-acre tracks. And they called me up and said the accountant did. They needed some money. It was $7,000 a month for one and $8,000 a month for the other one to wipe their tinies. And so, you always had one of those buyers. If you find a good deal, you know, let me know. Well, the timber guy had already told me he'd give me $80,000 or anyone for the timber, so I knew that was the basis. And but anyway, I ended up buying the property for $140,000. I went and to the bank, and in the old days you could get 60% of what the current tax value was on the land. So I knew I had $40,000. I knew I had $80,000 in timber, and I figured, you know, you guys are very conservative, and you need to be because it's a moving target. It's a commodities, and there's a lot of things about it. And, you know, what's timber worth? It depends is the answer. But anyway, I ended up putting it in a sealed bid auction, which I like that process because you get more people involved, and had five bidders on it out of 36. And this was 100-year-old timber. It was 587,000 board feet on 39 acres, 40% veneer, 17,000 pines. The rest of it was hardwoods. The guy that had offered 80, 6 months later, wrote me a check for $128,742.23. I never know why that number, that just sticks. That was an unusual number. But, you know, there's, even though, you know, timber can be worth a whole lot more, and it can be worth less unless you know, have the right people and take the right procedures to capture
the biggest,
that.
Lou, the biggest mistake I see landowners make in regards to timber is when it comes time to sell their timber, they, you know, selling timber is a once-in-a-lifetime or twice-in-a-lifetime thing. It doesn't happen very often. And
that's
as
true.
A consequence, most landowners don't know the timber markets and how the process works. And the biggest mistake we see landowners make is when it comes time to sell their timber, they'll talk to one or two or three timber buyers that they know, and they'll get prices, and they never got an appraisal of the timber ahead of time, so they don't know what it's worth. So an offer comes in, and they get three offers, let's say, and they say, well, I'll take the highest of those three. But what that landowner doesn't know is that if he invited 100 people to bid on that timber, which is what we do,
right,
there'll be someone out there that will pay a whole lot more.
Yep. They're logging your word short.
75% more than you'll find by talking to one or two or three timber buyers.
That's right.
Now, the timber buyers, they're not being dishonest. It's a fair price they've offered, but it's not the exceptional price.
Right.
And the exceptional price, the spread between a fair price and an exceptional price, can be substantial.
Yeah.
And the reason that spread exists is because there'll be some guy out there, if you invite enough people to a sealed bid sale, and where they pay for it lump sum up front before any trees are cut, there'll be some guy out there that's got a note due at the bank, or he's got a special order at the mill, or he's got a crew that he's trying to hold together, or he just blew the crews, and he'll pay 50% more than the average price would be. And when you don't seal bid your timber, you miss those opportunities.
Exactly.
If you sell on a pay as cut by the ton, or if you just talk to two or three people, you miss those opportunities.
Yes, you have. I want to move into your book, Buying Rural Land. You know, if I haven't done this in a while, but when I was building a website, when Land Watch and Lands of America was building theirs and launching them, I had eight other partners, and it was the most comprehensive site, and I had it in beta and went to New Orleans for the Realtors Convention, RLI Convention, and was passing out buttons for the site and calling people like you, put your listings on for free, let me get started. When I got back, they wanted like $30,000, which was not part of our contract, and refused to launch the site, and of course, you know, we told them what to do with it, but to the bookstore and went to the real estate section. And there was probably 50 titles, and I'd look at the index, and I only found two, maybe three, that even had the four-letter word land in the index. And then if you look at authors, you know, Dr. Curtis Seltzer, I don't know if you're familiar with him, he wrote probably the most comprehensive book on land. It's 782 pages. It's like holding the Gutenberg Bible on your lap when you're reading it. And B.K. King, who's one of our ALCs, wrote a marketing book on land. I just haven't checked in a while, but there are just very, very few out there. Tell me about your book, Buying Land, Tips on How To.
Tips and How-Tos. It's just a collection of short stories, basically, on narrow, specific subjects. And I've collected these essays into a book. And there's probably a dozen or maybe a dozen and a half of these little essays. And I've just collected them in a book, and you can pick it. They cover topics from how to make money with timber to should you use a real estate agent, Should you get a survey on your property, or what about landlocked property with no deeded access? How important is it? Just a lot of topics that we hear from our buying customers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so after 43 years of doing this, we said, well, why don't we write all this down and give people a reason to come to our website? And so that's what we've done. And it's not in a paper format unless you print it out. It's an ebook, and it's available for free through our website.
Perfect. Some of the things on here is using debt, when to or not. What's that about?
Well, you see a lot of people that want to buy land, they can't write a check for the whole thing, and so they want to use some savings to put a down payment on and borrow the rest. And it can be a good idea, and it can be a bad idea. And the answer is that it depends. One thing about land is a very poor servicer of debt. And so a lot of people think, well, I'll buy a piece of land, and I'll borrow 60% of the money, and I'll pay it off by cutting trees and selling firewood and digging ginseng and digging up fat pine and those sorts of things. And there will never be enough of that to service debt.
Right.
So if you don't have off-farm income to help service that debt, it's generally a bad idea.
Gotcha.
It can be a good idea for a variety of reasons, including increasing the return that you get from the dollars that you invested.
Mm-hmm.
But if the money that you have is going to be needed for other things, like sending kids to school or, you know, maintaining your style of living, et cetera, then you've got to think about this thing long term. It has to be money that's available for a long term placement.
Right. Do you find, and I think we do in at least our market here, your average land buyer is going to buy the 10 to 30 acre tract. You know, say like 30 acres, you might be looking at $100,000 to $300,000. Okay. And then you got to build a house. Usually a person of that means it's going to probably build a $200,000 plus house. Now you're looking at $300,000-$400,000 mortgage payment. That seems to be our sweet spot. I've developed over 60 rural subdivisions. Actually, people said they're not making land anymore. I've made it for years, taking the large tracts and breaking them down. Mm-hmm. In our subdivision rules, as long as we stay 10 acres or more, we don't have to get the government involved. Oh, you know what a blessing that is. And been very successful. Are you finding the same pretty much in your market?
We have a different focus.
Okay.
We don't deal with much under probably 100 acres. And
really?
Probably 3 to 5 is 100 acres is kind of more where we are.
Hmm.
I've got a couple of agents that do deal in smaller tracts. They're young. They're getting started. They
sure.
need the experience. And they're willing to work. And they're young and they're willing to work on smaller properties. But as a company as a whole, and especially myself, we focus more on the recreational hunting tracks, someone that's maybe high net worth that's looking for a family compound for the place to take the grandkids hunting, a second home kind of a deal. It's more recreational in the focus of our business.
Gotcha. You've got some great stories on your website, 4 of them specifically. Which one's your favorite, 1, 2, 3, or 4? Let me mention what they are. 1's finding the time. 2 is finding it quickly. 3 is finding a needle in the haystack. I like that one. And then 4 is don't give up, find it. Which of those are your favorite?
I think my favorite is the needle in the haystack.
Okay, talk to me.
I believe that's the one where the sawmill company needed land.
They were looking for 2,000 acres of timberland.
Right. They had several million dollars they wanted to invest in to buy land to provide furnish for their sawmill.
Okay.
In addition to buying on the open market, they wanted to own some stumpage as well. But it had to be in a certain area. They weren't a great big company, but they were looking for a couple thousand acres. And they called me and said, hey, you know, they read about our database and mm-hmm. our ability to search for buying opportunities, and they hired us. And we searched that database based on section, township, and range, and also a size criteria. If it wasn't, they weren't interested in 500 acres. They wanted 2,000 acres.
Right.
So there's not a lot of those. And so we ran the database, and that didn't take but about an hour to do. And we got a list of, I don't know, a half a dozen or so. And some of them they wouldn't sell, and some of them weren't suitable for other reasons. But we got a buying opportunity or two out of that search, and we're able to put together a purchase opportunity for that client, negotiate the deal, cruise the timber for them, and ran comp sales to make sure, you know, our offer was based on real-world market data,
mm-hmm.
and went forward with the negotiation, and were successful. But it was land that neither of us knew about, but it was in that database.
So you did find a needle in the haystack.
We did.
All right. What other? Give us one more war story. What's another good example? That's really interesting.
Gosh, I've got a lot of. I've got 10 agents at my company.
Okay.
And some of them have experience, but some of them don't. And one of the things I always preach to my agents about is always go to your closing.
Oh, definitely.
And I know we're shifting gears a little bit.
No. That's very important.
As far as war stories go, this is a good one. And I give this example to all my agents. I went to a negotiated deal. I knew both the buyer and the seller. I was 5 minutes late to the closing. And when I walked through the door, both the buyer and the seller were standing across each other at a table screaming at each other.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, oh, my goodness, what has happened? And I sat down and didn't say a word and just sort of listened. And it turned out that the buyer wanted the minerals and thought he was getting. And the seller said, no, I never intended to sell you the minerals. You're not going to get my minerals. So I let them go at it for a bit, and I started digging through my file and happened to find a copy of the deed. And the deed that my seller, when my seller bought the property, and the deed said excluding minerals. So I raised my hand and I said, does it matter if my client, the seller, does not own these minerals? And I put the deed in the middle of the table.
You got kind of quiet, didn't it?
Got quiet. Everybody sat down, and we closed the deal.
Yeah.
And if I had not been there, and this is the point for all you young agents out there, you're representing your client right down to the bitter end.
Oh, yes.
And you can't do that if you're not at the closing table.
Actually, you're representing them after the closing because they always need something.
They always need something. But it's part of your duties to your client, in my opinion, and it's standard policy at my company, is that you attend those closings to make sure that
we have the same policy.
Things like that don't happen.
Nope. It's a day of celebration, you know.
Right.
You may give them a gift or take them to lunch or, you know, whatever. It's always thank you very much because they just help you pay your mortgage payment.
Or it may be a day of stopping an argument.
Sounds like it. Teresa, real quick, you got any questions before we close out?
No, I just want to thank you for coming on. I have really enjoyed this show. It's actually one of my favorites. I've enjoyed listening to you.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it, too. I appreciate the chance to talk about what I do. And you know, people, my wife asks if I'm ever going to retire. I'm 67, and the answer is, well, when they quit hiring me, I will quit.
Yeah.
But until then, if I'm 95 and they'll still hire me to do what I do, I love what I do. I love being in the woods. Yeah. I love being on land. I love talking to landowners, and I will continue doing this as long as
I got a few on you. I'll be 70 this Friday, so
there you go.
Just keep going.
The key to getting old is just don't sit down.
No.
And so I'm grateful for the opportunity here to talk about what I do. Thank you.
Give us a commercial. Tell them how to get in touch with you, your website, your phone numbers, anything you want them to know.
Cyprus Partners, CYPRUSPartners.com. We specialize in rural land sales and purchases and management. All the information is on the website.
And you've got an incredible website. I don't care what part of the country you're in. Go to his website. There's just so many just basic stuff on there and stuff that's a little more complicated that you are able to communicate in a very professional and easy format. So,
well, thank you. This is probably our fourth generation, and the first three were a disaster. And I learned a lot along the way, and I learned what I don't know, and I hired some smart people that specialize in this, and that's my best advice I can give.
That sounds like
to the other agents out there that are trying to develop a website is don't try to do it yourself.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's what Let's Talk Land show's all about. There's so much about land. But anyway, Rodney, thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you like the show. If you have any guests or topics you'd like to suggest, we'd appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions or concerns, This show is for the public and, most importantly, for real estate agents who do not have a source for land education, and it's very limited out there. All of our shows are downloaded after their broadcast Saturday morning from 9 to 10 on www.letstalkland.net. They're also loaded on Podbeam and Spotify, and they may email me at lou@mylandpro.com. And cell phone number is 336-669-1405. Teresa, what's your phone number and email?
My phone number is 336-209-2937. And my email is teresa.mylandpro@gmail.com.
All right. Rodney?
Yes, sir.
How do they get in touch with us here?
They can go to our website. Go to WKTE1090.com. Click on our website there, and they can email us. Or they can download the Simple Radio app also and hear us throughout the whole entire world.
Really? I mean, yes. Like on China and the other China, all the way around? You know,
Germany. And everywhere.
So if you like beach music and oldies, and you are the best station, no doubt about it. We've been nominated 5 years in a row. What now?
For the best beach and oldies radio station in the Triad area.
And we're the oldest AM station in the Triad since 63.
Right.
Non-directional. Wow. And you also just got a nice award for the
Reader's Choice Award for the best DJ of the year.
Congratulations. Well deserved.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And you need to work on your radio voice a little bit.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I need to be more like you.
No, more like Teresa.
Oh, yeah. Teresa. Yeah. I'm working on it.
All right. That's it. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. Thank you.